This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hey you, are you wasting your time on social media again?
Your brothers and sisters in IslamNet from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. Establishing a masjid to convey the message of Islam is one of the best deeds a Muslim can do. There's a huge need for it in Norway. You know this and I know this. So that makes the reward even greater. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys? And before we start, I think today it's important to note that we're in very special days in the Islamic calendar. Yes. We're in the month of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, ما من أيام العمل الصالح خير فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, which means that there's no days actually that good deeds are better than these 10 days. And then the Sahabi that was asking the question, he says, ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله, not even jihad in the path of Allah. Yeah. He says, ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله. It's not, he said, this is amazing. Mm. It's shocking actually. Wallahi, this hadith is so profound. The Prophet ﷺ said, not even al-jihad fi sabilillah. And this is, by the way, talking about physical jihad. Yes, we're talking about someone protecting.
We know the reward for that as well.
Yeah, yeah. He says, except for illa rajul kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi wa lam yarja bi dhalika bi shay. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that except for a man who went out with himself and his monies or his wealth and he didn't return at all. So subhanallah, doing good deeds, saying subhanallah and alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar and la ilaha illallah ولا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. These things, saying these, because the Prophet ﷺ told us about these in particular. On these days in particular, it is like kens. It is like a treasure. Wallahi, I have to. It's only right for me to start this video by telling the people, you must. Yes, you must take advantage and seize this opportunity. Seize this opportunity because it won't come out. And in fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so because it's good to be practical. As you guys know, we're working with IslamNet. And IslamNet, we've both been there. The guys are unbelievable. They're fantastic. They're so reliable. They're so trustworthy. And they've translated the goods, and we've done videos to show that they've translated the fundraising money, the donations, into tangible assets. We went there, we went to Norway, we done videos, we saw it, the physical assets, and it's an expensive place. The link will be below. It will take you about 20, 30 seconds, I think.
Less than that, bro. Less than that. Ten seconds. Recognition, boom.
Boom, finish. You don't even need to do face recognition. Just go on it, click on it. Wallahi, you have no idea what this could mean for your life in the hereafter. So exactly. Click the link below. Do it now. Don't waste time. In fact, pause the video. Do it now. Yes. Yeah. And you'll get so much reward in this dunya and the hereafter.
Being drawn to the Muslim faith is not new because it really does. It's unapologetic in the patriarchy, right? So in a hyper-feminist world, it seems attractive. And again, Malcolm X wrote extensively about this. I mean, I don't subscribe to a lot of the appeal of it because Islam is not true in my worldview, but we could discuss that. I don't think it's actually useful of our time today. But you're hitting on something really important, Patrick. In a world that has gone mad in chaos, people yearn for order. Now, you could be too far in the order direction, which I think Islam goes too far. I do not want to live in a theocratic fascist country. I like freedom of speech. I like having dialogue. I like private property rights. I like entrepreneurship. That's why I think the West is the best, because you balance order with spontaneity.
The first thing is, referring to Islam as a patriarchal religion, I have a mixed view about that, and I'll tell you why, right? Mm. What they're trying to say is that it's a structure which has man as the managerial, at the top of the managerial hierarchy,
so
right?
So Christianity is a Christian, bro. Christ is at the head of church, and the husband is the head of the household.
Right? Yeah, something like that, the Book of Timothy, right? Yeah. But what I was going to say was that, when we say the word patriarchy, it has negative connotations, okay? Yeah. And usually when it's used in feminist literature and it's used in discussions, it has an oppressive undertone. It has a subtext of oppression. So that's why I personally don't like using this term. Why? Because when the enemy uses the term patriarchy, they're talking about usually an oppressive type of relationship. I know that's not the definition of a patriarchy in a strict sense, but it has that kind of a connotation. Yes. It's an oppressive relationship between men and women. Now, we don't believe in that. In fact, we believe that there is a perfect justice and equity between men and women in the complementarian system that it is. Yeah. The Quran says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. That do not wish what the other one has. For a man is a portion of what he has earned, and for a woman is a portion of what she has earned, and ask Allah from his bounty. Meaning, we don't believe in any kind of oppression or an oppressive relationship between men to women or women to men. In fact, Islam claims that the opposite is going to happen, that if you follow its rules, that everyone will be happy. It will be the most practical thing because Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth that knows all, the all-wise, the all-knowing, He, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does he not know what he created and he's the all-subtle, all-aware? Allah asked the question in the Quran, that he is the one who gives each person their roles. So this is the first kind of issue. And then he started using terms which I would completely object to. But before I get to that, do you want to add anything to the patriarchy point?
No, I think it's very bad. But it's just, to me, it's just very bizarre because they make these comments, which I'll show you later. He's a Christian. Just bear in mind, he's a Christian and he's making these, he's using these words usually liberals use. And I'm a bit confused.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
let's but there's one more thing before you, because he used the term fascist, okay?
Yeah.
He said, I don't want to live in a fascist or theocratic state. I believe in freedom of speech.
Yeah, that's another point.
Okay, but it's a real problem for him to use that term because the word fascist has usually nationalistic denotations, not even connotations here. Yeah. I mean, a fascist is usually connected with an ethnicity or a nationality or a group of something. Islam is the most multicultural religion in the world.
Yes.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "La fadla," there is no virtue over a black man over a white man or a white man over a black man or an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab. The Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَرَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. In chapter number 49 of the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, that, O you humankind, we have created you from a man and a woman. We have created you into tribes and nations so that you may get to know one another. And the best of you are those who are the most pious. Now the point is that I will claim this. I will claim this. There is no more anti-racist religion in the medieval period or before that than Islam. You will never find something as unequivocal, as unambiguous, as cutthroat as it relates to race, as it relates to the fact that no race doesn't make you a better person. The color of your skin doesn't mean the betterment of your character than Islam. You'll not find anything in the Bible to that effect. In fact, he's talking about fascism. I mean, I find that shocking because if there's verses of the Bible which prove to the contrary. For example,
Matthew 15:21.
A woman who is a Gentile, a non-Jew, came to him. And what did she? What, have you got the verse?
I've got it's in Matthew. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Have you got the verse?
It's Matthew, crying, "Have mercy on me, my own Lord."
Can you imagine this? A woman was coming saying, "Have mercy on me," and he said that it's not right for me to give the food of to the dogs or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was calling her a dog,
and because they saw Gentiles as impure people,
so he was He used dehumanizing language with a non-Jew. All right.
Yes.
This is racism. In the current day, we would call this racism. Right. Mm. Well, what does she do? She was asking for mercy from what you guys believe is a god. Right. You're talking about fascist religion, and Islam is the only religion which is as anti-racist as it is.
Yeah.
So you've got misconceptions as to what it is to be Muslim, or what an Islamic state should look like, or what it should be based on.
Yeah.
These are all misconceptions. Should we see what else do you want to add to that?
And this is a woman that's coming to ask for help and is being referred to as a dog. And well, Gentile, he says that came to the Lordship of Israel. But the thing is very interesting. If you look at the Surah Mujadila, a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and she came about complaining about her husband. And guess what? God Almighty sent revelation down for her. So compare this to your God, who a woman's coming crying and being called the dog. Compare it to Islam, the oppressive woman, that God Almighty hears the conversation and says to the Prophet ﷺ, indeed Allah has heard the conversation. And what did her husband say? You are like the back of my mother. Did the husband hit her? No. Because of a statement he uttered, Allah sent revelation for her. So much so that some of the Mufassirin say that Umar ibn Khattab once was talking to a man, and this woman came and somebody scolded her, and he scolded him. He said, do you know who this woman is? This is a woman who Allah sent ayah to. This is how Umar ibn Khattab honored this woman. Yeah. So the point is, now you're there making this, it's just bizarre, a Christian person making these statements of freedom of speech as well, bro, which I find it bizarre. Does he really believe that in a Christian predominantly country, imagine I'm living under the Crusades, can you imagine me coming out and saying I'm a Muslim? Then is he talking about freedom of speech?
Freedom of flipping life.
What
they did when they went into the freedom, when Christians, the Inquisition, 1492,
butchered them.
What they did, they destroyed them. Freedom of, you couldn't even be a Jew in Spain at that time. You had to run away. They ran away to the Muslims.
When Umar ibn Khattab conquered Jerusalem, he had to go find 80 families because there was no Jews. The Christians didn't.
See what he's done here is it's very strategic because he's compared a secular country.
Yes, exactly.
With Islam. Why don't you compare a Christian country with Islam?
Not only that, he's also comparing a secular country with Christianity, with the freedom of speech. These are not from Christianity.
Exactly.
These are liberal values, bro.
Thank you very much.
So the point is, you're conflating. Yeah, I think you've got an issue there.
Yeah, yes.
With spontaneity and unpredictability. If you just want order, you can live in Saudi Arabia, but that's not a free society. But I think the West has gone way too far away from having order as a bedrock principle.
I mean, this sounds like Jordan Peterson, by the way.
Yeah.
If you look at Jordan Peterson's written works and stuff, he talks about this order. He's got these themes of order and chaos. And he's just taking out Jordan Peterson's playbook and he's regurgitating it in a more palatable language, right? But he's just taking the psychological theories of Jordan Peterson and regurgitating them. The point is that it's a very arbitrary measure, isn't it? Who gets to set the guidelines of where is order, where is chaos
and
or unstructured?
And who said to you the Western world is Christian?
Yeah.
They are against Christian values. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Christians are flocking to Islam for that damn reason. And you're here using liberal values.
It's weird. Yeah, it's the most fair point, because we're in the UK now, for example, United Kingdom, right? On paper, we've got in the census data that Christianity is a minority religion. It's under 50%.
Yes.
So you're talking about America. It's on the way. I mean, Christianity is on the way of being a minority religion there as well.
Yes.
And the systems of government are not Christian. In that sense, they are secular. There is a separation of church and state. They're not based on the Bible. So once again, it's a false comparison. If you want to compare like for like, compare religion for religion. Don't compare secularity for religiosity. And what I'll say is who makes these the correct criterion?
Exactly.
It's a very colonial narrative, I think, anyways.
Exactly, I see.
Because the world that they built it in is, how do we have liberty, but also we have the rootedness of eternal wisdom, so that liberty does not become licentiousness? And that's exactly what we're living through. Is that it's no longer the pursuit of what is good, it's the pursuit of what makes me feel good. And those are two different things. So people like Tate, or people previously in the 60s or 70s, I mean, you could...
How do we have it so it doesn't become licentiousness? I mean, it's already licentiousness. Look at the most licentious is like lewd and sexually lewd action, right?
Oh, okay.
I mean, in virtue ethics, they had two things, irascibility and licentiousness. These are the two things that in virtue ethics is written in the books of, for example, Aristotle and so on, in the Nicomachean Ethics.
Yeah.
These words come up quite a lot. But he's saying, how do we get... We've already got degeneracy and licentiousness. You know, people are now... I mean, what are you talking about? And frankly, I mean, what are the prescriptions in Christianity that prevent licentiousness and irascibility and these virtues that for thousands of years the ethicists of the Western world have been speaking about? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And he doesn't have a criterion where you can judge truth from falsehood. And what he's doing is he's basically positing in somewhat of an articulate fashion, okay? Because I'll give him that. He can speak in a coherent manner. He's positing a value judgment at best. He's given us no barometer for being able to judge truth from falsehood. And then he's just giving his opinion, and he's pushing that opinion, for all intents and purposes, as fact. So I'm afraid to say, I'm very unimpressed with this. And Patrick Bet-Davids, he should have done a better job actually trying to interrogate this and to ask these very pressing questions.
Well, as Christian himself, maybe he's got a bit of bias there.
Of course he's got a lot of bias. And unfortunately, he has not been able to speak to Muslim people who believe in traditional Islam, okay, on these matters. Joe Rogan has said that this man speaks to anyone about anything. We know for a fact, me and you, that that's not the case, is it?
He should. I mean, he should invite some Muslims to his podcast. Maybe they can give some...
Anyway,
learn about Islam. I mean, it's very important to hear from a Muslim.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if we want to have a discussion about theology, we can. He started off this discussion, this guy here, I don't know what his name is. He said, I don't believe it's true. Islam is true on my worldview.
Yeah.
And he says, but that's another discussion for another time. That is the discussion,
is
but
the
you're
discussion.
Afraid to have that discussion because you know the implications of it. Anyway, with that, we conclude. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah. And we know the great reward that will not only be gained, but rather will fill your grave after your death. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale.